We hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Steve Kelly and Wave Church. We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching, and we believe that it will enrich and empower your life.
Well, I want to say welcome to Wave Church Online Faith Community. It is so good to have you with us today. Obviously, we are online with our services, and I got to tell you, like we talked about last week, we all understand there's a lot of social separation, but there's no spiritual separation. We're planted online in our faith community. We're getting fed the Word of God, and thank God that we have these means to reach out and communicate, to keep building faith. Like we talked about last week, let God's Word and let God's voice be louder and louder in Jesus' name. I want to show you a story in the Bible, and it's one of my favorite stories. And I'm going to read, if it's okay with you today, just a nice, decent amount of scripture that's going to tell a story. And they're going to look at some life lessons that came out of it as a result. It says in Acts 27 and verse 13, when a gentle south wind began to blow, they thought they had obtained what they wanted. So they weighed the anchor and sailed along the shore of Crete. Before long, a wind with a hurricane force called the Northeaster swept down from the island. The ship was caught by the storm and it could not head into the wind. So we want you to notice that word we, because the writer of the book of Acts is actually locating himself. He's on the ship. So we, it says, gave way to it and we were driven along. And as we passed the lee, a small island called Corda, we were hardly able to make the lifeboat secure. Could you imagine? They're swinging loose. When the men hoisted it abroad, they passed ropes under the ship itself to hold it together. Fearing they'd run aground on sandbars in Cyprus, they lowered the sea anchor and let the ship be driven along. It says, we took such a violent battering from the storm that the next day they began to throw cargo overboard. On the third day, I mean, this is going on, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. So it was the cargo, and now it's the tackle with their own hands. When neither the sun nor the stars had appeared for many days, and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. We finally gave up all hope of being saved. I love it because it goes on and says, in the midst of all that, it says here, after a long time, the men had gone without food, and Paul, who is, by the way, a prisoner on a ship with soldiers that are taking him to Rome. The soldiers used sailors and their ship to get Paul and others who were prisoners on a ship to go to Rome. So Paul is a prisoner on the ship. In other words, he's the least. The soldiers were in charge and the sailors were in charge of the boat. Who's Paul? He's a prisoner. Paul stood up and said, man, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. Then you would have spared yourself this damage and loss. But now I urge you, he says, to keep up your courage. Oh, I love that in the middle of all that we're talking about in these days. Because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed, which is good news, unless, of course, you own the ship. Last night, an angel of God, of who I am and whom I serve, stood beside me. And he said, don't be afraid, Paul, for you must stand trial before Caesar. And God has graciously given the lives of all who sail with you. So keep your courage, men, for I have faith in God. It will happen just as he told me. Nevertheless, we must run aground on some island. And on the 14th night, can you imagine? It says, we were being driven across the Adriatic Sea when about midnight, the sailors sensed they were approaching land. They took soundings and found the water to be 120 feet deep. A short time later, they took soundings again. And it says it was 90 feet deep. So fearing we'd be dashed against the rocks, they dropped four anchors from the stern. And the Bible says, and they prayed for daylight. In an attempt to escape from the ship, listen to this, I love this. The sailors let the lifeboat down into the sea, pretending they were going to lower some anchors from the bow. Then Paul, who's supposed to be the prisoner, said to the centurion and to the soldiers, unless these men, these sailors, stay with the ship, you're going to drown. You're going to die. You won't be saved. So the soldiers cut away the ropes that held the lifeboats and let them fall away. Just before dawn, Paul urged them all to eat. For the last 14 days, he said, you've been in constant suspense. You've gone without food. You haven't eaten anything. Now I urge you to take some food. Watch this. You need it to survive. Not one of you will lose a single hair from his head. And after this, he took bread, gave thanks to God in front of them all. He broke it and began to eat. I want you to notice here, it talks about for about 14 days. It's about 2 weeks. And then it says in verse 39, when daylight came, they didn't recognize the land, but they saw a bay, a sandy beach. They decided to run the ship aground if they could. And cutting loose the anchors, they left them into the sea. And it says at the same time, they untied the ropes that held the rudders. They hoisted the foresail to the wind and made for the beach. Anybody who understands nautical terms will know what's happening here. It says, but the ship struck a sandbar and run aground, and the bow stuck fast and it would not move. And the stern was being broken into pieces because of the pounding of the surf. You ever been in a storm where it's just pounding day after day, week after week, just more bad news upon bad news? Then the soldiers planned to kill the prisoners to prevent any of them from getting away and escaping. But the centurion wanted to spare Paul's life and kept them from carrying out their plan. He ordered those who could swim to jump overboard first and to get the land, and the rest were to get there on planks or on pieces of the ship. And then this way, everyone reached land in safety. I want you to notice here, Paul is a prisoner, and he's telling the soldiers and the sailors, listen, you should have listened to me in the first place. And it says here that the soldiers wanted to kill these men, these prisoners. They didn't want them escaping. They knew they would answer with their own lives. But the centurion wanted to spare Paul's life. You know, most history and Bible scholars tell us if you're a prominent prisoner, such as what Paul was, on your way to be go stand trial before Caesar, and you go before Caesar without your prisoner, you'll answer with your life. So they tell us that the soldier, the centurion that was actually would chain himself, almost handcuff himself to his prisoner to make sure even if the prisoner arrives dead, he's going to arrive. And I think to myself, if you're a soldier and you're chained to the Apostle Paul, who is whose prisoner? And it's no surprise to me that Paul obviously was getting through to this centurion. And whilst the other soldiers want to kill all the prisoners, somehow Paul was having an effect on this man. And actually, every other prisoner, their life was spared because of the favor of God that was on Paul, who in the boat was the least. But it's amazing in a storm how real leaders surface. I got a couple of thoughts for you right now as we talk about this. Number one, lessons from the storm. You find out what life's real priorities are in a storm. Listen to it. We took such a violent battering from the storm that it says the next day they began to throw the cargo overboard. Do you know all those things that is baggage that you think is so important that you can't survive without? Do you know in a storm, you find out your real life priorities? Your real life priorities are you and your family and your neighbors and your loved ones and all the things that you thought you couldn't live without. Suddenly they become so disposable in a storm. Can I encourage us in this storm, in this season, in this day? Can we hang on to things that really matter? Can we let go of the things that really don't matter? And then look what it says here. It says in verse 20, when neither the sun nor the stars appeared for many days and the storm continued raging, Luke wrote this book. Luke said, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. I know in these days in which we live, there's some Christians out there that's gone through a storm and they've lost hope. They've given in to the doom and the gloom. And that's where Luke was. But I want you to notice what Paul didn't do. It says, we gave up all hope of being saved, everybody else, but Paul didn't. Here's the second thing you got to do in the storm. Number one, it will teach you what your real priorities are. But number two, can I just say to you, don't let the no-hopers ruin your day. And sometimes there are even Christians and they've just given in and they've lost hope. Can I say to you, make sure that's why being here right now, online, stay with us now. Stay with the Word of God. Don't tune out. Don't get distracted. I want to say to you that actually, if you don't stay connected into the community of faith, it wouldn't be long before voices of no hope and negativity and doom and gloom and uncertainty and despair. The Bible says in the last days, men's hearts will fail them with fear. And I want to say to you, don't let the no-hopers ruin your day. Let's believe God. Let's be Paul. Let's believe that we've got something else for us in our future in Jesus' name. And look at the third one. It says here in verse 23, it says, last night, an angel of God, of whom I am and whom I serve, stood beside me and said, fear not, Paul. You've got a destiny that is unfulfilled. You've got to get to Rome. There's more for you. There's more for you to do. You got to stand trial. This storm will not be the end of you. Here's the third thought. Catch it now. When you have unfulfilled destiny, you are unstoppable. When you have unfulfilled destiny, then I want to tell you that nothing is going to touch you. It's important we keep living with a sense of vision. It's important we keep living with a sense of mission. It's important we keep living with a sense of there's more for me to do in the kingdom. I'm not going to lay down and die. And here it says, and God has graciously spared the lives of all who sail with you. By you not giving up in the storm, by you hanging on to faith, by you believing God that you've got a Rome to go to, you've got unfulfilled destiny, you become unstoppable. I love it when preachers talk and preach faith, and I'm a faith preacher, but I really don't like it when people say, if you have faith, nothing can touch you. Nothing can be further from the truth. If you have faith, it's going to get you in all sorts of trouble. But I want to encourage you to understand, even in the New Testament, it was because of their faith in the New Testament that men and women lost their lives. It got them in all sorts of trouble. But when you've got an unfulfilled destiny, you're unstoppable. That's the lesson. And I want to encourage you, I've still got a whole bunch more that are actually as important and as powerful as anything you've heard so far. You're right now, we're going to go to a testimonial video, and I want to encourage you to stay with us because the best of this message is still yet to come. God bless you. We'll see you on the other side.
Hello, my name is Rochelle. And I had been battling with fear. I feel like my whole entire life. I really believe that it started or manifested itself when I was 15 years old. My mom passed away with cancer, and I think that was a turning point for me. So I feel like my whole life, I was someone who ran from stuff, who felt like anxious about certain things and didn't want to do them. I just didn't do it. So I just decided, yeah, I'm good. This is how I'm going to live my life. Totally just in bondage and in shackles with fear. That's just how it was. My best friend at the time decided that she wanted to go to graduate school. And she was like, Rochelle, you know, I'm going to go to graduate school. Like, what do you think about that? And I did undergrad and it was a little intimidating, but I finished it. And I think like graduate school was just a whole nother beast. I feel like the first week of graduate school was fine. Like I went, everything was great. I felt good about it. And I really believe the second week is when a turning point happened. And I seriously like woke up in the middle of the night with this overwhelming like anxiety. I couldn't sleep. I was crying. I remember she was like, what is wrong with you? And I was telling myself like, I can't do this. I can't do this. And she was like, what do you mean? Like you just did the first week of school. And I was like, I don't know. I just can't do this. It was really crippling where I had to like go seek professional help because that's how bad it was. I wasn't sleeping, I wasn't eating. I was just waking up in like pure terror to the point where I was just like, you're never gonna be anything. You're always gonna be this way. And this is how the rest of your life is going to live. And so believing in those thoughts, like when they say the battle is in your mind, like it really truly is. And when you allow yourself to be open to those thoughts that you know are against and contradictory to whatever the Bible says. And when I talk about like how real he is, just to know the love of like knowing that you had to go through this, Rochelle, but to get on the other side of that, like is, I can't even put it into words. Like, to be honest with you, it was one of those things where I was like, when I said that I like literally thought it was gonna be like that forever, like I really thought that. I really thought that I was gonna live my life in this place of like just brokenness, just heartache. And I did not think that there was ever gonna be anything on the other side of that. To come on the other side of that and to know that my job now for the last 4 years is mentoring girls is bananas. Like I would have never in a million years thought that I don't even like people like that. Like, I truly don't. Like, I like to keep it to myself and keep it moving. And that is not my life now. Like, the girls that I get to interact with, even the mentors that I get to interact with, and just be able to speak to the things that I have went through, the things that I know to be true, and to be able to speak life into those young girls, which is truly and honestly, without a shadow of a doubt, they need to know that it's not even that you can do it, but then you really can do it and get on the other side of that is such a big, huge testimony. If someone came to me today and told me that they were struggling with fear, I would tell them, number one is like, just never give up. And number two is like, have faith. I'm telling you, my like saving grace was to know like I was never gonna be like this forever. So I would just say like have hope and just like never give up and just really hang on to faith. Just really trust in that.
What an amazing story from Rochelle. Just a beautiful young girl who tragically lost her mother. And as a result of that, all sorts of fears robbed her of her future and her optimism and her hope. And actually an amazing story of conquering fear. And now today she runs our Wave City Care Shine Girl program, helping young girls with their self-esteem, helping them understand that God created them, God made them. What a great hope it is for you and I today. We're talking so far about handling life storms. We're talking about you get the right priorities in a storm. What's really important. We're talking about not let the no-hopers ruin your day. We're talking about when you have unfulfilled destiny, you are unstoppable. But I want to continue on right now. Come on, stay with us now. Thanks for being with us. Here we go. Number four. I love this one. It says, fearing they be dashed against the rocks, they dropped four anchors from the stern and they prayed for daylight. Do you know, sometimes there are storms that happen in life. And frankly, like this one, that you didn't start, and not only did you not start it, but you can't stop it. There are storms in the scripture that Jesus spoke to a storm. He said, peace, be still. And he stopped the storm. I want you to notice, Paul couldn't stop the storm. He actually was going to ride out the storm. And I want to say that to you and me. Come on, church. We're going to ride this out together. We're going to be a faith community online, and we're going to get through this together. But here's what the Bible says they did do. They dropped four anchors and they prayed for daylight. I want you to notice again, they couldn't stop the storm. They didn't start the storm. But actually, you can still not allow that storm to define you being crashed on the rocks. You can still, if you'll just drop anchors, you can find some stability. You can't stop the storm, but you can fasten with anchors to the ocean floor and stay still and find stability in the middle of what we're all facing. And I want to talk to you about those four anchors. What are the four anchors that we might need to drop right now in this storm? And here's the first one. I want you to hear it. Prayer. I want to encourage you to make sure we always go to God first. We can go to a website. We can go Google details and information. We can get all the information about COVID-19 and hear all the latest data and statistics and what's happening in China. And we can become experts on who the experts are and be able to quote them. But let me ask you, what word do you have? Who do you go to in a storm? Number one, let it be God. Number two, it's the Word of God. Let's make sure we go to the Word. Some people are so well rehearsed in their illnesses, they can spell their diseases, but they can't quote a single Bible verse from the Word of God pertaining healing, health, and wholeness, and blessing, and just what the blood of Jesus did on Calvary. It wasn't just for the forgiveness of sins, but it was actually healing in our bodies. Can I encourage you? Hold on to the Word of God. Quote the Word of God. Hold fast to the Word of God. Hold it close into your heart. It will be a strength and a refuge. Here's the next one. You need fellowship of friends. I know we're in this social distancing, but let's not be spiritually distancing. Let's stay in our Wave community groups. Let's stay connected through our online services. Let's make sure we're talking and looking out for one another. We need friends. We need good climbing partners. We don't need no hopers. We need people who are going to say, come on, we're going to get through this. God is good. The Bible says, I want you to hear it again. He or she who isolate themselves rages against all wisdom. Let's be more intentional than we ever have before. And then finally, I just want to say this to you, church life. And I know church life is a little different right now, but I want to tell you all the more reason to just go back and reflect on what I talked about last week. The Bible says they devoted themselves to the teaching of the Word of God. The Bible says they that are planted in the house of the Lord. And I want to applaud you and commend you for watching online, you and your whole family, and watching, because this is what Wave Church looks like, and this is what church looks like for this next season. Look at this next thing. That's the fourth one, is just drop four anchors. The anchors are church life, the anchors are good friends, the answers are prayer, and the anchor is the Word of God. But number five, look at this. I love this. In verse 30 and 32, in an attempt to escape from the ship, the sailors, watch this, the sailors let down the lifeboat, pretending. Oh, there's some good pretenders in church, isn't there? There's some people who say, I love you, Lord. And yet Paul says, don't leave the ship, stay with the ship. And these sailors going, who's he? He's a prisoner. Why are the soldiers doing what he says? We're sailors. We know the sea. We're out of here. See ya. Wouldn't want to be ya. Exit stage left, snagglepuss. And they are out of there. And here they are pretending they were doing something, letting down more anchors. But the truth is, they had a plan B. God's word, the Apostle Paul said, stay with the ship. Plan A. They had their plan. We're out of here. We're letting down the lifeboats. And I love what Paul did. Paul said to the soldiers, unless these men stay with the ship, you won't be saved. So the soldiers cut away the lifeboats, removed plan B. Let's stay with what Paul said. Let's stay with the word of the Lord. An angel came and spoke to him and said, you will be spared and everyone who sails with you, but you got to stay with the ship. Sometimes in life, we've got plan Bs. I'll trust you, Lord, but just in case it doesn't work out, I've got this. I've got this on the side. I've got a plan B. And I want to say to you, remove all your plan Bs. Let's trust God. Let's trust His word. We can judge Him to be faithful in Jesus' name. Even when we're not faithful, He is faithful. And I want to give you the next thought here. I love this one. It says in verse 34, just before dawn, Paul urged them all to eat. For 14 days, catch this, you've been in constant suspense. You've gone without food. You haven't eaten anything. Now I urge you, eat some food. You need it, watch, to survive. Here's the fifth lesson of handling life storms. In the middle of all that we're facing, in the uncertainty of food and provision and all that's happening with COVID-19, you got to stick to the basics. Paul's saying, listen, guys, you've forgotten to eat. I don't know about you, but that's not my problem. My problem is never forgetting I'm eating. My problem is forgetting I'm fasting. And it says, can you imagine how ever-present, how all-encompassing, how incredibly consuming every waking moment of every thought was so powerful that literally they could not eat and they didn't eat. Here's what we got to do. We got to stick to the basics. We got to keep doing what we can do. The storm wants to get you out of routine. The storm wants to get you out of life certainties and out of the things that, you know, just causes. I mean, I know there's a lot of people right now and you are having to just be at home constantly and you still have a job and you're able to work from home. Get out of bed. Get dressed for work. Brush your teeth. Eat some breakfast. Do a good day's work. Have a break. Have a lunch break. Get back to work. Don't just drive, walk around in your pajamas all day watching television and all the news and being inundated with COVID-19. Come on, stick to the basics. Love God, love life, love people. Keep doing everything you can do to keep your life with a sense of stability and consistency. And then number seven, in verse 39, when daylight came, they didn't recognize the bay, but there was a sandy beach where they decided to run the ship aground. I love this. When daylight came, they made for the beach. I want to say this to you. Don't let the storm define you. Don't let the storm of cancer. Don't let the storm of a sad marriage. Don't let the storm of whatever it is that you're facing right now. Maybe it's a storm right now of finances. Don't let that define you. That is not who you are. Embrace the daylight. When daylight came, they moved toward the bay. They headed toward safety. And then I love it because this is what I haven't read and I want to close. It says in Acts 28, when they finally made it to this place called Malta, it says that the people, the islanders, were so kind, unusual kindness, unusual hospitality. Can that be you and I? That we would be those people from Malta? That we would show unusual kindness, unusual hospitality, that we get creative? And it says the Apostle Paul made a fire and he was warming his hands by the fire. And then it says a snake jumped out of the fire and bit him. And every islander knew the snake. And they said, he's a dead man. Even though the storm didn't kill him and everybody else is spared, God has seen to it that this snake, because they knew the snake that bit him, would be the death of him. And I can just imagine the Apostle Paul with this snake hanging on to his hand. And he says to this snake, he stares it down, those little beady eyes. And he goes, look at me. Do you have any idea what I've been through? I've carried the lives of 276 men. I warned them not to sail and leave shore. Would they listen to me? No, they wouldn't listen to me. I told them, stay with the ship. I told them, you got to stay with the ship. Cut away the ropes. I told them, and I've got them here. And if you think after everything I've been through that you are going to be the death of me, and the Bible says, watch this, he shook it off. He just ignored it. And then these islanders in one moment went from thinking he must be a bad man. It must be that God is killing him. And when they saw he didn't die from the snake bite, they suddenly thought he must be a god. How could he survive? We know the snake that bit him. That's the plan of the enemy. When you finally feel like there's peace, when you finally feel like the storm is over, when you finally feel like there's safety, the enemy will come one more time in the fire and he'll jump out of the fire and try and put you right back in the middle of the storm. But I want to encourage you today. Come on. Whatever it is that's actually coming at you and you feel like you're finally coming toward the end of this and it feels like something just happened that's put you right back in the middle of the storm, stare it down, shake it off and trust the word that God has spoken to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I think that's a good word. I know you're all at home, but I just think, come on, wherever you are, however you're watching, why don't you thank God for an amazing word that comes to you and I today, and we learn how to get through the storm and come out the other side bigger, braver, better, and stronger in Jesus' name. Amen. I just want to say this right now, and I know if we're not careful, there are Christians that could tune out right now. And I'm going to ask you, please stay with us. We need your faith. We need your community of faith for those who are watching online that don't yet know Jesus. I want to pray with everyone and anyone who hasn't yet made a decision to give their life to Jesus. Come on, Wave Church, we need you. We need you right now praying wherever you are, however you're watching. And I want to talk to anyone who does not yet know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I want to ask you today, do you know Jesus? Are you a Christian? Do you know what it is to be forgiven of your sins? You know, some people once had a relationship with God, and the truth is they drift. Storms blew them off course. They're like the Luke who wrote the book of Acts. They just lost all hope. And I want to say to you, come on, He's a God of hope. He's a God of peace. And in the middle of all this, Jesus is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Have you ever had a life-changing encounter with Jesus? Man, I'd love to pray for you. If you say, Steve, I don't know him as you speak of. Steve, I'm away from him. I once gave my life to him, but I'm not living for him like I once was. Would you please, along with everybody, wherever you're watching, would you pray this prayer? Can we all do it? Come on, church. Come on, we're Wave Church. We understand that this is the most important part of this whole service. Would you just say this prayer with me, everybody? Lord Jesus, I ask you today to come into my life and to forgive me of my sins. I thank you, Jesus. You're doing that right now. And I receive you. I receive your love and your mercy, your grace and your forgiveness. I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that right now I am a Christian in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this message by Pastor Steve Kelly. You can find more resources by Pastor Steve at stevekelly.tv and wavechurch.com.